welcome to Sports Bets Racing Podcast. I'm your host, Mick Wall. Joining me as always, got SD Simon Marshall and Julian Valance. How are you, boys?
Not looking as good as Julian today. I love his haircut and the jacket.
Yeah,
and the shirt combination.
Yeah, something different, huh?
T-shirt, jacket.
I'm getting mad excited about it. But,
it was big in the 90s, the t-shirt and jacket combination.
You're suggesting it's not so big?
Oh, I don't know if it is now.
Change.
Can I tell you, Jules is actually, he's been swanning around the office. I don't know if you noticed
it.
But ever since he's just been appearing on some of these shows, the wardrobe seems to it's off the hook, as they say, Jules. It's been very, very good. I've seen pocket squares, just tie clips, the lot. So he's up and about.
The shoes, the pant, the combination.
Just looking $1 million.
This has been the best start we've ever had in a podcast.
There you go, Jules.
We're not going to air, I'm assuming.
No.
This is not on.
This is it. Yeah, well, look.
We're getting out.
Jules, you were saying, look, there's not much to cover tomorrow, so we've just got to fill it.
But a lot of fill.
Jokes aside, there is still a little bit left in the tank for the punters. And we go to Sandown and we'll have a look at the zipping, and then we'll have a look at the guineas, and then we'll have a look at the best bets for the day. But Julesy, what are we looking at here as a day?
Yeah, it's an interesting. I reckon it's the most interesting day in terms of a market and what it does with the market. And I'll explain in that you've got horses that are at the end of their prep from the spring campaign. Yep. You've got horses beginning their campaign, and you've got horses that are probably not the A graders, but are targeting these Group 2, Group 3 races because that's their level and they're really well found by the trainers. And what you'll find is the market will swing probably the most it ever does on a race day, on this race meeting. So you will see big swings either going horses hemorrhaging or horses actually completely coming out in the market. Due to whatever reason, hopefully not, due to those reasons of horses maybe just at the end of the prep, maybe going terribly in the mounting yard, in the coat, all those kinds of things. So it's a really interesting day in terms of you've really got to trust what the market does because it will tell you a lot of good things. In terms of the track, you never sort of know what you're going to get with Sandown, but what you're going to get is because we haven't raced there for a while, it should be fair. It'll be dry, even though we've had some rain in Melbourne. I think it just soaked up the rain that it got there, and I think it's going to be good, which will probably mean it's always an advantage to be on speed when the track's dry and a good track.
All right, nice one. So let's have a look first at the Zipping Classic, of course named after the great Zipping.
Superstar he was.
Superstar
he was.
And Al Mandon, not surprising, it's opened as favourite at $2.50. I think there's a little bit of the name and reputation in that. Big Duke after an awesome cup run, which interestingly we're hearing that maybe wasn't as good as we thought, and he wants to sharpen him up a little bit, and we'll talk about that with the addition of Blinkers here at 3:30, his second pick. Then you got the Taj Mahal at $4, which is down the bottom, which has been slightly easy. Then it really does go to double figures, and it's hard to see anything else beating him. SD, how do you take this on?
I think that due to the weight scale that our man just gets into this race, absolutely perfect. He's got the mantle on these horses at the 2400, but what we saw with him, three starts back, he was brilliant at Flemington when Damien Oliver rode him from last, zipped up on the inside, zip up, you get it, zippity doo da, zipping. And he just blew him away. And then the last lead up was at the Bart Cummings.
Yep.
He was a bit dour, a bit one paced. He had to go back from a wide barrier. Emily Starr won that race. And then in the Melbourne Cup, we saw Frankie Dettori sit four deep on him. And fold in the Melbourne Cup at the 1,000-metre mark, if you like. So he's the best horse in the race by far. I love Oliver going back on him, and I love the fact that Team Williams have actually are going to run him in this race because it means he's healthy and he's well. They wouldn't risk him otherwise. Lloyd doesn't tend to do that. So if he turns up, if the real Al Mandon turns up, please turn up. He can win this and win it quite well. But I'm sticking with Big Duke. He ran better than Al Mandon in the Melbourne Cup. He won a 2,600 metre in Sydney. He does like a bit of juice out of the track if there is juice in the track after the rain that we've had, Julesy, but might dry up, like you said. Should have won a Moonee Valley Cup. He ran super in a Melbourne Cup to run fourth.
Yep.
And the blinkers go on. No, Weary will have him at Warrnambool. Wouldn't have had a saddle on his back. I know he went to Warrnambool racetrack and had a little breeze up gallop, just a maintenance gallop. And Weary said, I'm going to put the blinkers on because I thought I was disappointed. disappointed with him. He should have been sharper in a Melbourne Cup. But can he drop back from 32 to 24? I'm banking on him doing that. But Almandon scares the bejeebers out of me. And Consoma Tour as a blowout if you're playing multiples in a tricky little race.
Very good, Jules.
Yeah, it's a really tricky race, and probably this is one of the best examples of the market going to be dictating what's going to happen here with Almandon. So if Almandon's really solid in the market with 10 to 5 minutes to go, he's there. He's there. He's ready to win. If he's not, and there's a big possibility, and the jury's out with me, that he might drift and get into even, you know, around the $3 mark. If he does, you know, it's all awry. He was really solid in the Melbourne Cup betting, like extremely, extremely solid. It was amazing watching him and Marmello go down so quickly and gapping the rest in the market. And then obviously he didn't run to market expectations at all. Look, he's the best horse in the race, but the jury's out for me. I couldn't back him at the price, but he could win, and I've got no issue with that. Blinkers, as SD said, Blinkers will help Big Duke probably. He'll be a little bit more forward. The Taj Mahal's the horse that I am most interested in. Look, was ordinary when it first came here at Caulfield. Then we had some money, like $34 into about $15, $16, was really firm in the Emirates and ran right up to it, ran fourth, ran a really good race, was really fresh in the yard, I heard that day. So the quick backup, take the edge off him. He'll be, I think, this is the horse that I could back if the money came. So if it was the one that would firm in, it would be the one that I'd be really keen on backing, because it'd be definitely there. And I take on SD's horse, Consoma Tour. This is not the right race for it. I'd say it'll be next start. If it can get a wet track, it'll be winning. Simple as that. It just needs to be put in a bit easier grade, get a wet track. It's a good mare and it's going well.
Unfortunately, wrong time of the year, isn't it?
That's the problem. But if it was running Kyneton today and the races were on, you would have got a heavy track. So you just need need a bit of luck. Maybe Pakenham. Pakenham in about 3 or 4 weeks, the Pakenham Cup.
The Cuppy.
The horse.
We'll be there.
It'll be for this horse, I reckon.
You can come on down to Pakenham Racecourse there at Narnar Goon and meet Julesy. Have your photo taken with him.
Yeah, Julesy and SD, they have a photo booth down there, I assume so.
Maybe a kissing booth.
Kissing booth, Jules. Yeah, there you go.
So get into that.
I'll bring you on the dunking machine.
There you go. All right, so we're both happy enough to take Almandon on. Which is
just at the price, but if your kid could cascade in and then he'll be winning. But yeah, just a bit of a query. The jury's out.
Last two starts, the money's been solid and hasn't run up.
Correct.
To it.
Yeah.
So even if the money comes, it's like, do you know what? And it's not that. And you're right, Estee. Best horse in the race on its day, but it's day gone.
Well, that race that it won at Flemington. I know it won with its head on its chest, but it may have just knocked him out. It may have completely just, that was his big effort, and now he's just completely racing like a tired horse. Can happen.
All right, so let's have a look at the Guineas now. Race 8, Sandown Guineas. Now this is a little bit more of an even affair across the betting. You're going to get a lot more value in this bigger field, obviously. Top two, Snixpeg and Boguest, $4.80 a piece. You got Villamont the 9 there at $5.50. Then you got Black Sail at $8. You got Peaceful State down the weights at $9.50. Then you got Octobello at $10. Hypnotist at $11. It's a bit of a log jam there. Julesy, why don't you kick us off with this one? Where are you looking? How are you going to play here?
Yeah, so another intriguing race. And again, I don't want to harp on it, but this is, you've got the top two, probably even the top three, Snitzerpeg, Bojest, Black Sail, have all had long prep. So this is now their sixth and seventh runs into the prep. So look, they've been running well, you know, in pretty good grade. So they deserve their prices in the market. But have they had enough? They go into the well too many times, and that's why I'm going to go around those ones, and I'm going for the horses that are fresh on the scene. Specifically, Villamont. It came out and won its maiden at Benalla like a superstar, and then everything went completely wrong at Caulfield. And then they were going to put it in and run again, I think, 2 weeks later. But they decided to wait 30 days. Purcell, Kieran Maher, Camp. It's just really good placement, I think. I think this is a race it's been definitely specifically set for after, you know, what probably went wrong a month ago. It's been well-backed. I think it's a really nice horse, and I think it's the one on the up that can win this. And the other horse that I think is also on the up, I think it'll be a fantastic autumn three-year-old, is Peaceful State.
Yep.
Look, you look at the Ballarat race and you go, oh, geez, there's only one by a neck or a half length. They absolutely gapped the rest.
Yeah, there was a big gap to third, though.
Absolutely, and the times were good. So got home in, you know, around 11-something. You've got to be a fair horse to be able to doing that, even if you are going slow in front. You've still got to be able to have the ability to be able to run those 11 seconds in the last 200. He's in the right camp, Peaceful State, with Weary. They're the two I'll be playing, Villamont and Peaceful State.
I'll tell you what, Peaceful State, that's the autumn call is a very good call, and especially with Weary. If you follow Weary runners, his later three-year-olds, that's when they go bang. I mean, that's really what it looks at. He's not Emily going into the two-year-old mark and things like that. So I watched that, and you're right, Jules. Yes, it just won, but there was a gap. You had two horses, the four. The key is as well, when you do that, the good horses win, and it did win like a good horse. So looking forward to seeing where that goes. SD, what about you? Are you in the same camp here, or do you think that these ones up the top, like Snitz Peg and Bogus, are they good enough to keep going? And I said, seven runs in, can they still get a win here? It's a
great point that Julesy makes, and you always love horses that have been set for races. But there's been one trainer, Bogest, no thanks, and Black Sail, no thanks. But there's been a bloke that's changed the mould through all of that. Old stage that, you know, horses continuing to run on and have they missed their grand final. Darren Weir changes the benchmark every time. And Snitz Peg, I'm happy to forgive him in his Carbine Club run because he flopped out of the gates, decided to ride him cold, got too far out of his ground, skiing on him at the top of the straight on a day where they didn't make much ground from behind, when you go back and look at it. And he flew down the outside in the worst part of the track and made super ground. That was coming off two fantastic wins prior to that. I reckon this horse has continued every run he's had. And I believe Darren Weir when he said that Snitz Peg is spot on for this. He's as good as he was when he ran in the Carbine, and he should have won the Carbine. This is Darren Weir stating this. So from gate 7, Dean Yendall, positive, first half a dozen, controlling the race. I think he's a very good horse, Snitz Peg, and I reckon that he'll have the edge on these horses with experience, with confidence, and I think that he's the horse I want to ride in the race. Julesy touched on Villamont. This horse won by 5, and it's maiden. Typical Karen Maher preparation where he gave it a nice kill. The horse got really good confidence. And then at Caulfield, Lukey Nolan rode him. He jumped, dug him up. There was a battle early, and it confused the horse because he ended up pulling him back. He popped out, got some daylight, let him roll down the side, turn it for home. He was a sitting duck, 350 out. He hit the front and he was like, what do you sort of want me to do? And I could see a confused horse there. And then he just tired his last 50 metres. I'm happy to forgive him for that. Julesy touched on that they've given the horse 4 weeks in between. They said, bugger the spring carnival from here, Flemington. Let's target the Sandown Guineas. I reckon he's very well bred. And from gate 9, he's going to sit back and he'll be the horse flying home late. And the other horse that you mentioned,
Peaceful State.
Peaceful State's got to go in. But they're the two that I'd like to be riding in this, but Snitz Peg to dominate terms from that good barrier.
Maybe a Weary double.
There you go.
Weary Cronulla.
Yeah.
Been done before.
Yes.
Yeah, and we'll continually done again. All right, gentlemen, so there we go. So interestingly, both happy to pot some of these ones have been up for a while, agreeing on the Weary camp here, but just in different horses. And Villamont, you know, might as well, Jules. But again, not too many differences there. That's good. So let's have a look at our best for the day and see where punters are going if they are having a bet. Jules, we'll start with you because I know there's one that you really like.
Yeah, really, really keen. Sometimes there's horses that you like just because there's other ones that are hard to find.
Yep.
This one pops out, and I really think it's a really good bet. Race 6, Crystal Dreamer.
Yep.
It was really well backed against Ball of Muscle, who was so well placed in that Flemington race. Like, Ball of Muscle was
flying.
He's had a fantastic prep, and he was placed so perfectly by the camp. Red Zell form. But the punters were really keen to back Crystal Dreamer to beat him. He beat everything else. Got me thinking that he's just in a fantastic space at the moment. Elton Zara, I think 16 winners from their last 70-odd runners. Yeah. They're absolutely low-flying. Gate 4 is just an absolute treat. I just think he'll be winning. Look, these other horses like Gun Case and Concealer, these horses, they're okay, but they need to go to another level, I think, to get to Crystal Dreamer. I think Crystal Dreamer, just from that gate, it just... You talk about ticking boxes. This horse is ticking every one of them for this race, and it's a really good bet for me.
Mm. Nice. All right, nice. ST?
It's what...
your Chris, best?
Chris Judd did with Vizzy for a long time. Ticked a lot of boxes, that boy. Race 6, Crystal Dreamer. Number 3 on top, Rock and Gold. He can train the Quinella, can't they? Aladdin Zara.
Yeah, for
Rock
sure.
Rock and Gold will be zipping on home there.
Yeah, you potted Gun Case, you don't think it's up to it?
No, I think he's been beating benchmark horses with big weights and looking okay, but he's got to step up. And every time he steps up to this mark, he's failed. So I've got a slight knock on Gun Case here.
The Aladdin Zara Quinella for you.
Yes, please.
Nice, I love it. All right, and your best of the day.
Love Jersey's best bet there. I reckon you can have a little multi.
Oh, yes, look at that.
With, I don't know. He'll go for the ram. Multi-ball.
Hang on, let's get to it.
The pennies. Multi-ball. Bang. Go for the ram. Okay.
What's the best?
Race 3. Number 2. Faithly Chieftain.
Bang.
Yeah, Jizzy was ridden pretty poor last start. This is a horse that ran into Lord Fandango that arguably should have nearly snuck away at the Caulfield Cup. It was huge in the Caulfield Cup.
Can you hear me, Clem Fandango?
And then he ran second in the Geelong Cup. Who won that? Vega Magic.
I think it's Venga Mask.
Venga Mask. What did Venga Mask do next at Flemington?
He won again.
All right, he won again. And Gaelic Chieftain went back to last. Mm. Why didn't he stay on the fence and zippity doodah up there? Gaelic Chieftain will win race 3, number 2. Wow. Tongue Tie goes on. He'll sit up on in a small field, sit up on the pace. He's only got to beat Schwakadalek. Ran second in the race last year.
It did.
Come on, man.
And just on that, with Gaelic Chieftain.
Yeah.
And who's second in the pick? Second in the market, mate. It's Fanatic at $3.80 or something.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm here.
Is it? Yeah, it's quite funny.
Fanatic is $3. Oh, no. Swakadelic is into $3.70.
Okay. That's okay. But what I'm suggesting was when Fanatic first opened, I think it was Gaelic Chieftain $2.50 and maybe Swakadelic. Mm. I mean, not Swakadelic, Fanatic about $3.60 or $3.50. Two starts ago, these horses ran in the Geelong Cup. Not much has changed since. I know Fanatic won, but it was only a restricted race. Mm. Gaelic Chieftain ran around SP $3. Fanatic ran around $21. Mm. If you look at SP profiles, which I think everyone should do when they're doing their form, because it just gives a little bit of an idea Good of point. Where the market sits. Mm. You can also see where the horses run and stuff, but it gives a great idea of where the market thinks they'll run. That gap's got to get bigger. Gaelic Chieftain's got to really put a space on Fanatic in terms of the price, I would think, by race time.
Yeah, there you go. And I'll tell you what, being your two best, I reckon if you go on the website, there might be one of these monster multis.
Oh, monster mash.
For the two at a very good price.
Just
go
on the sports bet website or the app.
The app.
Let's get on the app.
Sorry, I just had with the old lappy up here. People don't use the lappies much anymore, unless it's a different type of lappy.
Can I give you a little sneaky?
Okay.
Can I give you a little sneaky?
Talking about a lap dog, Jules, I don't know where your mind is.
What's a sneaky?
Nothing wrong with a sneaky lappy.
Oh, right.
Can I give you a sneaky one in the first?
He's got a bit prudish then. I don't know what was that about. It's the jacket, isn't it?
It's the jacket. Yeah. Sherlock Holmesy.
Sherlock
Holmesy.
He should have a pipe.
Ooh-hoo. Race 1. Ooh-hoo. Well, yeah. This is a filly of Tony McAvoy's who just trialled up humming just beautifully in the first race. Look, the future is what this game's all about, and we love a two-year-old race, don't we? And 1,000 metres out of that chute, I reckon she'll run well off the trials.
Ooh, yep. Very good.
And there's been a little bit of money for her.
Yeah, and just further to that one as well, Oh Hood, whatever you called it. Just Tony McAvoy actually took it to Sandown earlier in the week, so that's a positive sign too, because a lot of these trainers with two-year-olds in these early two-year-old races, they're just taking them to the races for the education purpose, just to have a bit of a see, educate him. He's taken it already to the track. He's there to win the race. She'll be mighty hard to beat. And also think in race 4, Illustrious Lad is a very good bet as well. Just got beaten by a nose last year in this race, ran a career peak, got beaten by a horse called Lucky Hustler, who was flying at the time. There's no Lucky Hustler in this race. Illustrious Lad, I reckon, is a good bet.
I couldn't be happier to hear that, SD. Can I just say, do you know why I'm happy?
You've got the Quinella.
Well, Illustrious Lad's my best.
Oh!
And can I be honest with you? The best bet, I think, is without a doubt, with you. I'm with you.
Crystal Race Dreamer.
Crystal Dreamer.
No, right? It's going to be carrying so us. That's the problem. So
I knew that was happening.
Now.
I knew you were going to go Crystal. You and Gade. Everyone was on Crystal.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And I was like, I found something else, and I was really happy. So I'm glad that you've come in first with that. So that's really good. I also don't mind Intervalla in the last. Only maybe one last go. I give it one last chance.
Okay.
It's not an overly strong race. It's the get out. That's the one I don't mind. Anyway, sorry, SD.
Thronum.
Yeah.
Thronum's he's a four-year-old bull by Snitzel. First up for David Hayes, won by five, this horse. Mark Zara rode him and idled him down at Bendigo, I believe. And what I saw with that horse's natural gallop, and he didn't even pull the shillelagh and keep the flies away. He just is a fuel-injected suicide machine, this horse. He was outstanding. Oh, so just,
sign him up.
Just bracket him in the little...
Definitely have him there.
Yeah, he looks an absolute...
Race four.
Star of the future. He ran, I think, 11.2 last 200 at Bendigo, throttled, which doesn't happen. You have to be a very nice horse. Just slightly worried about the weight for age scale here. I'd love him to see him in a handicap, but Hayes would get a good guide on him. He might be very good.
As King Julian would say from Madagascar, he gives me the heebie-jeebies.
You lost me. This is good. So, look, at
there's
the end
confident. Punters should be confident in this race meeting.
Plenty of confidence there as well. Just fair to say, Burning Front, we talk about it's a good leader, it's a bull of a horse, but looks maybe not this race.
Yeah, I think it'll just find maybe one or two. Look, he's hard to knock because he's so bloody honest, but I think at the price, he should drift.
And that's one thing. So, it'll be interesting. Jungle Edge surely won't start.
Well, it needs the 40 days and 40 nights of rain, I think, for it to be a chance. No.
Amazing I've been backed in. Do you know what would happen? It's 11 into 850. when someone saw the radar, when it was meant to absolutely hammer down, and it didn't, and just pomped there.
Yep.
Well, something's happened because I don't think we're getting a huge amount more rain.
No.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much, as always. We will be back next week
with the
preview of the big one, the Ballarat Cup, and then 2 weeks following the Pakenham. So we've got all that. It's fun. Don't get me wrong. We know Cup Week and it's fun, but now we're into the real
stuff.
The Sportsbet Ballarat and the Sportsbet Pakenham Cup.
Rat Pack, mate.
All of that. Double them up. All right, gentlemen.
Look out.
Get your picnic blankets ready.
I don't know if it's the picnics, is it?
No, just country racing.
Country racing, mate. Can I tell you, Ballarat's that busy. Yeah. They get 12,000, 13,000 there. You're not room for a picnic run. I'll tell you, it's absolutely full down there.
It will be full. Oh, yep.
It will be.
Yep.
Just take
and
your deck
so
chair.
Will we be.
Sorry, mate.
All right. Have Banana a good one. Legends. Good luck. If you're punting on the weekend, please do it responsibly, and we'll be back next week.
Sportsbet's new same game multi lets you build a multi in one game of footy. It's basically a bet inside a bet inside a bet. It's like that strange turducken thing where you put a chicken inside a duck. Then you put the chicken inside the duck inside a turkey. Then you put all of that inside the oven.
Sportsbet same game multi. Build a multi in the same game of footy. Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly.
Voilà, my first ménage à trois.